This is an audio recording of the North Hewish Parish Council meeting on Tuesday, the 1st of October, 2019.
Open forum. No members of the public here.
We had a flood meeting. I don't know whether you'd like to put it into a report. It's hardly a report, but it's...
Anything else brought up in open forum?
Thank you.
We have had our ear bent in North Hewish.
Many residents.
I don't know if you want to put it under planning applications, but we... Yes, do you want to bring it up on point 6?
Because it refers to planning.
Yeah, okay, we'll leave it till then. Nothing else.
So that would appear to be open forum. Apologies for absence I've received from Councillor Steer. Declarations of interest, we generally usually...
And Councillor Smurden, who else? Well, I'm not going to tell him. He's away.
Yeah, thank
you. We haven't heard...
We only expect one of you.
We haven't heard from Councillor Hoskins, so he may...
He may have been.
At a later date.
At a later date. Could we agree that the minutes of the meeting held on the 27th of the true record
of what... time ago, isn't it?
...took place?
Lots happened in between. Should
it not come up in any other in matters around them?
Items arising therefrom.
You wanted to bring that up, but
this is the permissive path where the fence was damaged and nothing much has happened or had happened. Has anything happened since?
Nothing has happened.
It was March when it was damaged.
April, so do we need to rattle somebody's cage?
Letter should be sent. Just to remind them. Find out what the progress is.
Well, find out A, what's happening, B, why it hasn't happened so far.
So a letter from the chairman then.
Yes.
I mean, if not, are we able to arrange for a bet ourselves and send them the bill? Or?
Well, the only problem with that is that we may do it and then they
never get the money.
So
it'll cost quite a bit because they're going to need to replace
a 25-yard stretcher. I think
we need to get a response, really.
I mean, they've promised so many times to do it.
In writing?
No, on the phone.
Oh, yeah, we need something in writing.
Yeah. That's why I think a letter from the chairman is probably the best bet.
So they being the people that are...
It's
the management.
First foot there. They've taken responsibility for the management of the
public's
Highmore estate.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And that path forms part of the agreement that was made between the developers and the landowners initially was that the developers would put that path in and maintain it forever.
Sure. Yep.
And that was then passed on to obviously the people living in the estate as the developers of the heads. So it's management committee on the estate.
Fine, well, I think if we open the letter and follow it up as often as we need to, really. Anything else from there?
I don't think so. We didn't do an awful lot last time.
What a thing to say.
The recent thing
we didn't discuss much.
Oh, the graffiti in Avonwick. Again, this could come up under finance. I've finally persuaded the Richard, isn't it, to give us a bill for that.
Okay.
But I'll have to bring that up under finance anyway.
Okay.
The phone box is coming up under.
Yes. Well, phone box is a separate item, I think, isn't it?
So it's nothing to worry about.
Okay. Well, as we know, Councillor Hosking will breeze in.
Yeah.
Thanks to District Councillor Patel.
Hello.
Yeah.
Just a few things. Major Highmore, Tony, you sent me an email, didn't you, about the
paint colours?
I have asked. I haven't had a reply, but
thanks for that.
I'm seeing enforcement tomorrow. I will ask them. I've just asked them if anybody's got any record, but
yeah.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
If you could let me know, I can send that back to
as soon as I, yeah, I yeah. would try and find that, even if it's a no.
This is to do with somebody painting
paint colours
with something which is not an approved.
With Live West, isn't it? Who are the affordable homes management
or
owners?
They seem to be breaking the rules.
So they seem to have, well, they have a lot of those properties, probably about 30% of those properties on that site are theirs. And so it's quite a sizable amount of homes if they're being painted in the wrong
colour. Do you know what colour they're being painted?
What colour?
It's been painted yellow. There's a particular property that's been painted yellow rather
well, the
than one of,
scour yellow.
One of the.
Well, I don't think it's out on the Crown paint chart, but yeah.
is this the timber or the walls?
No, the
render.
The render. The render
right.
property.
Yeah. Okay, I will redouble my efforts.
When it went obviously to planning, it would have been had a palette of colours which would have suited the area.
Yeah.
And that palette, well, that palette, he has described that palette of colours, hasn't it?
And that's in the AOMD there, is it?
In that email.
Yeah.
And of course, he's painted it outside of that palette of colours, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Or is it?
It's a question of whether or not the palette is enforceable.
Yes.
So it's part of the deed of covenant of the estate, isn't it?
That as well, but that wouldn't be Seth Ham's problem, that would be the estate's problem.
Is it in the AOMB?
It would be, yeah.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. Okay, that's one. The climate emergency talks go on, and Seth Ham's is looking at setting up some sort of citizens' assembly to sort of advise and encourage people to come forward with ideas of what we can do. We're part of the Devon Net Zero Task Force, led by the delightfully named Professor Patrick Divine Wright.
It is.
At this time of constitutional crisis, perhaps when it's called Divine Wright might be quite good. He is very eminent because he's the lead author of the United Nations International Protocol on Climate Change. So, that's going on. I think did you raise the question of the polling station here?
Yes.
He said opening a can of worms.
The information we have on it is that this is the only building
that's suitable.
Nothing
else.
And we would like to see it stay.
We'd like it to continue.
You would like it here.
Yes,
that's
what we want.
You don't need me to say
like it here, but I think
the officers
don't. The officers don't.
No.
Well, they're going to bring toilets.
Well, they bring a loo out there.
And
I bring them a kettle. I look after them.
Brent's
going to be
too
far.
No,
it's not. I give them great hospitality while
I'm also, because the polling stations in South...
Wait to get a Brent from you.
You don't want to go to Brent.
None of the polling stations in South Brent have significant parking, and every single person to go from here,
we'd
have to drive over.
No,
to
that's
to
fine. I just wanted to know if you wanted me to make, but obviously
good.
If you don't, that's absolutely
you can
fine.
Make representation saying that
they want it the same.
That we want it
well,
the same.
Well, I think, when is the closing date? There's a closing date.
We have written and said, haven't we?
Have you written?
No, you've got me, I don't.
Do you want me to write? Do you want me to support? I can send an email supporting it.
Yeah, I'm not
yes,
sure.
I'm very happy to
well,
do
we
that.
Could, and we will.
We need to.
We will,
I'll check and see. If not, I'll send
one. We should have sent one.
Because
in response to the consultation, we should have responded.
Yeah, but something
you still have time because the closing date is, if I get the right page, 20th September.
Yes.
Plenty of time.
I will send an email anyway. So.
Thank you.
I'll check and see what I've done. If I haven't, I will.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
The message check is in with somebody else.
The final recommendations will be considered by full council in November.
We
had a meeting in November, but there you go.
Yes, there's certainly concern that people went to South Bend. They just wouldn't go.
Sorry.
No, I was just saying that I agree with Tristan that if it was South Brent, people just wouldn't vote.
We have a very high turnout in there.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Voting
area, so we
want
to keep it going.
Places are having in people's front rooms and things. So.
I don't think there have actually been any complaints from voters.
No.
No.
Just the staff.
No.
You might be aware there's a possibility of a general election soon, so the council's gearing up for that. The spending review, I think your last meeting was before that, wasn't it? It was at the end of August, so... the likely cap on council tax increase is likely to be 2%, or, and this is what's still not being spelled out, but 2% or £5 for band D, whichever is higher. So South Hams is working on the premise that it'll be £5, which actually is near 3%. But there's something called the negative rate support, which means the council has to, instead of getting money from the council has to pay money into the government, and that's been suspended because it would knock a £300,000 hole in South Hams finances.
So if how does the £5 thing work out?
That is domestic. That's on your domestic council tax. It's either 2%, 2%, or £5
on a
band.
Just £5 on a band.
Yeah, but that's 3%.
You think the South Hams element is something like 175, about 170. I don't quite.
I suppose yes. It's,
and then £5.
It's about 170. I think it's about 170, 180 on a bandy. There's so much more goes to the count to the county and police. So that's the whole of a bandy only pays that much a year.
But sorry, I was just thinking of the whole.
So 5% is like is higher than the 2%. But there is a great danger that if this negative rate support it's almost certain to be extended this year, but the long term is not clear, and it could mean over 300,000, which would put South Hams somewhere like £400,000 hole in their budget for year after next. So we wait to see, basically. If you've been waiting for GigaClear to come and do any work for you, don't hold your breath, because they've been sacked by Devon and Cornwall, and the search might take some time to find a replacement. And quite a lot of planning is going on for Brexit, which apparently we keep being told is on the 31st of October. Basically, there's now one officer has been seconded full time with money from the government to plan for contingencies such as fuel and any other things. There's a South Hams website, although I would point out that the officer who's in charge of it points out that they're not putting everything they get from the government on the website because some of it appears to be political in content. That's a surprise. Rather than just factual. So they're actually, the officer is saying, we're not going to put everything on, it's too political.
Well, maybe it should be put on but labelled as such.
You don't have the A38, so unless you're particularly interested in Ragwort on the A38, I'll skip that.
Yeah, I've seen it there.
Been raised, and the working document says the contractors have until the end of August. When would it normally flower?
Well, it has been flowering.
It's been very
prolific.
Their protocol set from Highways England says the protocol is to have it removed by. And the flower heads are. I suppose you've removed the flower heads before they get to see them.
They haven't.
Well, they haven't, though, and it's been certainly a year for Frankfurt. It's grown in places where it never hasn't grown.
It's always kept under control.
It's been a very dry year this year, and I think that's really helped it.
Well, now they've cut back on the cutting a bit to call it wildflower meadow.
Well, it's all for the bees.
Yeah.
Well, it is good for bees, but it's obviously not very good for some other animals.
Mind you, I haven't seen a horse die of it yet, have you?
Planning. The one of the resolutions we passed last week was to streamline planning enforcement, asking the government to help. I mean, it depends on the government. Asking the government to help us streamline planning enforcement, with the idea being moved to almost a fixed penalty or a much simpler way of getting people to court if they break the regulations. I was alarmed to read yesterday, and I haven't seen it today that it's been said, but the Housing Secretary is publishing guidelines to give communities the legal right to challenge ugly buildings and poorly designed new homes. That's good. The guide includes requirements that all new streets should be tree-lined and use local materials. Again, I think that's good. With the local design code. What is not so good? Additionally, the minister will reveal that owners of purpose-built blocks of flats and detached properties will be able to add two stories to their homes without planning permission.
Oh. Two stories?
You must be joking.
That's what it says. Right. And it's not April 1st.
You'll see it soon.
Homeowners will need, again, it be, it, AONV might be exempt from that, as Dartmoor National Park is. I suspect it will. But it's
gosh, two stories, aren't it? Gosh,
just to let you know. So how does that tie in with not allowing ugly buildings?
Or define an ugly building.
Yeah.
That's my only
Civic centre in Plymouth.
There's also,
that's listed.
There is a huge difference between adding two stories to a 10-story block of flat and adding two stories to a bungalow.
Exactly.
I'll leave that with you, and we'll wait to see more details on that if it comes about. And just a couple of other things that came up at council last week. So we've told you about the better enforcement. A move to stop the closure of any more public lavatories, which again doesn't concern you directly. It went to the vote, and it was 14-all, and the chairman's casting vote defeated it. So the lavatory closures goes on. And finally, there was a... In local government, there's something called the Wigan model, which basically is working closer with local communities, including, for example, the parish council. So at the moment, the council is going to investigate that. So you may be hearing about that coming down the line, about ways in which they might work with you. In the way that South Brent works with Devon and district council in grass cutting, and South Brent organises it and gets the money. But there's lots of other areas where cooperating between the local community and the South Hams might be of advantage. So just be aware that might come. If you hear the Wigan model, that's what it's about.
North Country.
And I think that's it from me. Thank you very much.
Could I invite...
Thank you. Yes, it's a little group that meets since 2012 when we were flooded so severely along the river there. When we were first flooded then, we had everybody, highways and councillors and this and that, and everybody turned up. Now there are four of us who only come because they... eat my lemon drizzle cake. No, it's not true. We do keep an eye on what's going on and whether puddle holes are being cleared. And what we're concerned about is that we had sandbags, Richard Cooper, and then a few people who've now left the village, actually, used to keep the sand and sandbags down at the pub, and we don't quite know where they are and what's happened.
The bin for sand is still there, isn't it?
Whether the sand
the
there...
I don't know if there's any sand in the bin.
No, what's happened is that we had a sort of... somebody to ring if we thought the flooding was going on, and then you'd have a cascade down and you'd ring so-and-so and ring so-and-so. Well, most of those people have gone, but Richard is our emergency officer still, I believe.
Yes, he's kept in.
So I wonder if we can use him.
Would you like me to contact him?
I mean, I can contact him, you can contact him. I just thought I'd bring it up, because I think we need
sand
to make...
Sand and sandbags normally come through South Hams, and I know up at Tor Quarry, they keep them up there. But I would also say that the sandbags that I've had in the past... do rot out.
They do rot out. We were wondering whether we can really have Hessian ones again, because they last better.
Yeah, I don't know if they have any Hessian ones.
I don't know.
But I know they used to be kept on a pallet at South
Hams. The minute we had that meeting, we started all this rain. Mm. You know, so we're all watching our properties at the moment.
We were to ask for some. Where would you like them to be stored?
Well, the pub was ideal, and one of our members actually made a sort of a special spade to dig and put it into the bags and so on. It should all be down there at the pub, but I haven't been down to the pub for a while. Some people could ask them, perhaps.
Well, we could ask. It's not a problem. We'll ask Mark.
Wonder if they've got
anything there in the near future.
Well, you never know your luck, but we'll ask and see what happens.
Yes.
But I would say...
business.
I would say that I'm sure Mark would quite, I can't speak for him, but I'm sure he'll be able to accommodate something. But I think your main concern is, first of all, find out where the sand is, where the bags are. And
I mean, apathy sort of sets in, because it's 7 years on and we haven't been flooded.
But we need to,
it is wet now, and Dillyfield has started to flood again.
Haven't got any ducks yet.
I imagine that we're still getting the puddle holes cleared by...
We haven't had any done recently, but
But that's the sort of thing that really needs to be to be.
It might be worth a phone call to Mr. Widdicombe to find out if he's going out clearing again.
I
where
think it would be very
where
helpful.
Do we stand with his? I mean, I did contact him when he got into the new financial year, and he was happy to continue. And he, I think, had used up his allotment
for last year.
For last year.
I don't think he's touched this
year. We haven't touched it, but I'll contact him and see if he is still doing it, looking to do it. And
one of the ones that is vital is on the Ditford Turn. And there is one there, and if it isn't kept clear, and sometimes they tarmac over it, that one should make the rain come down into, and it goes direct down into the river. Sort of
just before the bridge, almost,
just
on that
almost
side, if you want
the
to
bridge
think.
Rather than sluicing across
the
bridge.
Instead of
it
coming
across
the camber and coming down that side.
Because it all adds together, all the water that's coming from everything adds together, and that's how we get the flood. So I think we can't be too blasé about it.
He's got a map, though, hasn't he?
Yes,
we supplied him
a map.
He has got a map of all the different puddle holes.
So maybe he should liaise with Marigold.
Well, I might point you in the right direction, if that's all right.
Yep, I can meet with him at some point.
So is the flood group looking for
that
more
house
houses?
Over there.
Is the flood group looking for more volunteers, or is it looking for...
I think the people who were really keen were the people who were flooded and lived along there. And of course, the Dents have moved and the Higgses have moved and people have moved in, and they haven't ever been flooded, so... Mm.
Would they be aware of the group?
Yes, they are aware of it, yes.
That's fair enough.
We can only do what we can do, really.
Richard's sort of is essential, isn't it?
And if I don't know whether Richard keeps up with his emergency book of people who can do things, because that's the other thing we need to look at. It's like snow wardens. We need to make sure we've got all these people in place.
Yes.
You know, we've got farmers who've got tractors and that sort of thing.
Well, you'll check.
I'll check for the facility is still down.
I'll check with Richard and see if he's willing to... Well, no, see what he has under his emergency.
Yes, I don't... He doesn't come to these meetings.
Yeah. While we have Councillor Pennell, do you not think we ought to ask him about... bags and sand and...
Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Who we ask about that? Yeah.
I'll ask.
That would be very helpful anyway.
Sand for the bags.
Sand for the bags.
Well, we are on that. How is your grip?
You normally get invited.
Snowboarding.
Put in a bid for that, don't you, each year?
Yeah,
I haven't had a look at the ones that
you did it last year. You got contacted last year.
I don't normally have that straight on because you know when you want to get it, now you get it, don't you? But it hasn't arrived yet, anyway.
No, I mean, I haven't had any requests for it yet. But I think we should press whoever replaced Darren Coles, whatever he's called, now the new one. He's not sort of trained up yet.
Get him trained.
Get him to send some on because it takes.
Do you want me to chase him?
Yes, please.
Two tons.
Two tons.
Great.
Salt,
and
grit.
I will
come on the highway.
Well, once we know what the job is and the budget is,
I'll put that on the highway when we get down there. So, Councillor, you're looking.
I'll look at sandbag. Do the ones you keep at the pub are they stored empty and then you fill them when
we've got this special trial thing that
the salt just destroys them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sand, the salt in the sand, but we do have
a container. We always did have a container in the car park at the pub that was kept full of sand.
So you want
it
so
filled ad hoc.
So I'll just find out who you need to talk to and who shall I put if I can point them to you, Jane.
Put it all back.
And then we can liaise this on, can't we?
Fine.
That would be wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay, so planning.
I have other reports.
Do you
want to report on the playground?
Always please.
Play park inspections. So the play park, which I have been inspected over the last couple of months, the baseboards around the fence are beginning to rot. So that's something we need to keep an eye on. They'll probably have to be replaced at some stage. The flat swing seat is also deteriorating. The rubber material it's made out of is beginning to crack. It's not unsafe, but it is, looks like it is heading towards needing replacement before too long. I imagine we'll get less use over the winter than the summer, but even so, it's something we'll need to consider and probably get quotes for replacing it at some stage. And the same is noticeable on the hanging rings as well. The rubber is also cracking, but I don't know whether that is structural on the hanging rings or whether they have an interior support, and whether the rubber is just a coating to...
Yeah, it could be like a metal ring with a rubber coating.
Exactly.
I think it's rubber coating.
So, do you just want them observed?
I imagine they need to be observed to see if they think when they get to a point they're going to
have to... See how they come through the winter.
As long as we've noted it, that's
good. Yeah, exactly.
It's coming your way next, I think.
Have you noted that?
When do I start?
This coming month. and I noticed that I think the clerk has put some laminated signs up at various times on the two gates that they have worn out, yes.
I'll see what we can do about replacing them.
That is the play park. If you want to be up to date with that, I'll pass it on to Mr. Councillor Hunt. And just to let you know, the website, there are new requirements coming into force, or have now coming, new regulations are coming into place, which means that as from next year, all public sector organisations, which includes us, have to meet accessibility requirements for websites, for people with limited visions, and all that type of thing.
How do you do it in Braille?
You can, in theory, get a Braille reader for any computer. Yes, which uses raised pins to read. That's allow people to read it. But most people who are using accessible technology will be using things like screen readers to read out the words. Now, our website is reasonably accessible. It was always built as such. I tweaked some of the colours this week to meet the latest set of requirements. In theory, there could be a very onerous set of reporting and investigation done to any website to check that it meets the accessibility requirements, and that might throw up work that needs to be done. But the regulations do say that depending on the size of the organisation and the needs that we identify, work may or may not need to be done. So I just wondered, from a council point of view, how essential the council feels to meet the highest levels of accessibility. Do we have any idea how many people in the parish would need higher levels of accessibility or modifications to the website?
Well, it's impossible to just...
It's about 170 people in the parish or so, something like that.
Have we ever had any calls from people?
We've never had any feedback on the website being inaccessible.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
Perhaps you could put something... if you hear of anybody that is not able to access his website, please contact the webmaster. Mm.
Well,
then at least you've made it.
In a minute.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to hear the feedback. Can we just do an overlay on the website so that they click a button and it makes it accessible?
Well, at the moment, the website already has a function where there are two buttons, one which expands the size of the type and one which changes the colour scheme.
Right.
Also on your computer, you can do that as well. On
that's absolutely right. And I've done a quick audit on it, which shows that there are few things which would trip up a screen reader. But as somebody who's not a screen reader user myself, I am not familiar with navigating via a screen reader, so I don't actually have experience of navigating it.
Well, we can mention the situation last to anyone that does need any help to get in touch with
that. That would be useful. It would just be useful to know to what extent that we need to get out.
And at least you've shown that you're trying to make people aware.
Is there any guidance that we've received from...
Not
District Council,
not
or
really.
Devon County.
No, we've had correspondence indicating these regulations have come into force, and looking into them, there are a wide range of interpretations as always, but there's also a very wide range of criteria which need to be met.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I've looked at the actual guidelines run to several pages of individual checks which need to be done, individual tests that need to be done for a huge number of criteria. It's quite a complicated set if it's gone into detail. I suspect, if I'm totally honest, as a very small authority with a small number of parishioners and a small number of visitors to the site, we don't need to get the same levels of accessibility that the main government websites do.
How many visit the site each month?
I don't have the recent statistics on that to my hand, I'm afraid.
Have you any idea or nothing at all?
Not off the top of my head, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. I think if we just put something on there to say if you... Yeah. Anybody has difficulty accessing the site.
let us know.
Let us know, because if nobody comes across, then we, as you say, we don't need to augment it, really.
And it'd be interesting to know how many people do actually access the website, if you're able to.
You
said
that. I can bring that one for the next meeting.
I could publish a parish council email address happily.
Mm-hmm.
That public information anyway, isn't it? That's against personal.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
Okay, thank you very much.
As the tree warden, why don't we bring another report into the mix?
Rutenbrasch.
Yeah, exactly. Rutenbrasch, straight through. Just very quickly, so I liaise quite well with a lady called Thelma Rumsey, who is the tree warden or representative who is part of South Wales District Council, and she is based there. And she sends out a nice little bit. So just very quickly, I didn't know if you know that we're entering into a very busy and exciting autumn at the Tree Council. We are only a few weeks away from the Tree Warden Autumn Forums taking place across the region. Yeah. And we have, of course, National Tree Week, which runs from Saturday the 23rd of November to Sunday the 1st of December.
Are you planning any activities?
And now? Well, there is a National Tree Week, which is all about trees for climate action, which I thought fitted in very well with Councillor Pennellner. So yeah, and there will be a National Tree Champion, who is Sir William Wolseley, and there will be partnered organisations there as well at the National Tree Week. Meeting. Now, of course, it's very heavily involved with health, tree health news,
mm-hmm.
and biosecurity. And of course, high on that agenda, which we all talk about, is ash dieback.
Mm-hmm.
The main response at the moment is keep an eye on it. Look through your hedgerows. Keep when you walk round. It's also quite good to have a look at the biodiversity and the different species that we have in our hedgerows. And down here, you know, we have quite a lot of that. You'll see holly coming out in full force at the moment, and the berries on that look like that we could be, it has been mentioned,
yeah.
A hard winter.
Yes.
A lot of berries. And the main protocol with ash dieback is just monitor it, look at it, keep an eye on it. If you think it's getting progressively worse, i.e. there are more limbs which are looking black, curled up, diseased, maybe make your local authority aware of it, especially if it's on highways. It does break off and fracture in high winds and cold weather, and that's something you need to think about from a health and safety point of view. But ultimately, what they're recommending is you leave it go. If it's in a field or a hedgerow and it's not doing any harm, is to leave it, because they want to see how this disease actually progresses. They have no way of stopping it. And they want to see if Mother Nature can actually repair itself to see what we can go.
I think we've got a couple of
you will notice that the larger trees take longer to react if they have got it, but they also have some resistance, and it's the younger, fresher stems that are actually being attacked by it. So just keep aware of that. But yes, the idea is actually to leave it there for a minute. Just make sure that it's safe. Okay, that's about it for a minute, but I'll give you more next month.
Look forward
to it. Okay. 2 tons of salt would be enough.
I think so. That would just get it. Yeah.
Planning.
There was one piece of planning that should have reached you today.
Yes.
A bit of an obscure piece of planning. I've tried to make one. Councillor Rusk, well, I have tried to make sense.
Yeah, I do apologise, but it was just gobbledygook when I first opened
what
it.
What we've found is there are a couple of photographs that you can access showing a roof line and the materials being used on it. And another, three photos, aren't there? One showing a brick wall, not stone wall, and one showing a window, I think.
In a stone wall.
But none of these photos come with any accompanying.
Is this pencil we're talking
pencil.
About here?
Yeah.
Sorry, let's start.
Sorry,
the top.
Yes.
I mean, I must admit, I clicked on the actual planning application in the beginning and then worked backwards, and it's what is the actual, have we got?
Yes, you got it on there.
Yes, it keeps on turning off.
Isn't it to do with the conditions of the planning, the original plan?
That's one of the photos or pictures that comes up. It shows the roof line. But it doesn't give you any suggestion as to what it is that we're supposed to be doing with that, whether we should find that roof line acceptable, whether it's, I mean, presumably it's a change from the original planning, but there's nothing anywhere that tells us that it is.
Well, was this a result of conditions that were placed on the
Yeah, but
It might, is it not reserved matters where...
Yeah, it is. It,
which is, in which case, the details, when it gets approval, the details aren't finalised, and then it's a matter for discussion, for negotiation between the applicant
right, so
and
if
the
we're
council.
Happy with that.
So it may well be that there's been no detail like that before, and now this has been put forward, so are you happy with it?
That explains a lot.
I think
right.
that's...
The, right.
If it's reserved matters, that's what it'll be.
Right, so, well, that's the roofing material. They just give a description of the types of material being used and whatever. I mean, I've had a look at it, and in all honesty, I can't see a problem with
what
it.
What was it? Second-hand Dillabolle slate?
Yes, Dillabolle slate on the actual roof line itself. Then underneath it, they had the breathable multi-foil insulating roof membranes and Lord knows what else. I mean, you get into...
The specific condition was the material, condition number 5 apparently.
Yeah.
And condition number 4, the windows.
Yes, well, the windows seem to be a...
Have we got a picture of the windows? What have they decided they want to do for the windows? We got a picture of the stone. Was the stone there to show the door or the window?
I don't know. I can't imagine that.
That one. Is that what the windows are going
that's
to look
it.
Like?
A window, yes.
I can't see. That's better. So it's going to be black...
Yeah,
is it a black PVC or a black...
powder-coated metal window.
Right.
Because
right.
that's what they were going to do
it
anyway.
It's a metal window. They don't describe it. It looks like...
It is an ideal combi, powder-coated aluminium externally and timber internally, side-hung with no visible trickle fence and enclosed detail window.
Wow.
So it's a window then.
What more do you want?
I mean, I call
it
an open
It seems to fit perfectly well in that hole,
because, I mean, we supported
it. We supported the initial...
And
this is detailed.
Yeah, and they have just invited our comments.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
we could support it again quite happily, I thought.
Is the general consensus that we continue to support?
Yeah.
I don't think that's made any difference to the
No.
I mean, the last time we had a detailed one that came dealt with the down pipes. Do you remember they were a particular metal type of pipe they wanted to use? Are you happy with that?
Mm.
But, I mean, the... I'm not happy with the way the planning department is sending this out. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, good old days, we all had it on paper and we could really tell you what was happening.
And can I actually say as
well,
when they sent it...
we can
just say yes.
Support.
Right, I can send a support thing back to the meeting.
When we had it first, the first letter came out, when I clicked on it, it was just a whole load of gobbledygook.
The links
page.
Aren't quite working on the email.
It had all about system.
When you do, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
You had to go back to one this morning, didn't you, and chase that.
Right.
But
I'll check the links.
It's all right sending pictures. I just like a little bit of verbal
detail.
Description as to what they want us to do with them.
Yeah. Okay, anything else in plan?
I don't think so.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
whilst we're on, the stone extension to the doghouse in North Hewish
the garden room,
we objected to has been passed.
It hasn't.
Yeah, has.
The natives of North Hewish are not happy.
They're not happy on a number of fronts. The main one, which I've picked up on, is a procedural front. While there were 9 letters or emails of complaint out of 12 properties in North Hewish who would be severely affected or affected by it, you wouldn't, of course, for 12 properties, you only get 11 complaints maximum because 12th one wouldn't complain about itself. So there's 9 out of 11, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
They feel that they're... They haven't had their complaints heard. They talked about the landscape, the heritage, how it would impact on the street scene. It seems like the planning officer or case officer, which I think is a Sarah Carroll, has not really paid any attention to it. Further to that, of course, we objected to it on very similar grounds. And it seems like that our objection hasn't been given its fair weighting. It has gone to our district councillors, Mr. Pennell and of course Mr. Smurden, who have both on their reports, while they have mentioned that there has been a lot of complaints or objections to it, they have both sided with the planning officer with no site meeting, no site visit, you haven't actually been down to the property and seen it. The case officer does say in her report that there is, or she points out that there is overdevelopment of the site, and she has pointed out that the public or the outside space will be reduced to a level which seems like that there is overdevelopment of that dwelling. However, she has chosen to approve it, and I feel that really, and also it was talked about that the AOMB have been consulted on it, and I'm aware that they have not been consulted on it, even though it is within an area.
They don't get consulted on it, applications.
But the tick box on the report says yes, they have. And I would, we have been asked by the parishioners of that area and us as parish councillors who get consulted on it, if we are not being listened to or the weighting is not being given to our opinion, especially on a district council level, who are there to represent us at the next level, what I've been told is, what is the point?
What's the point
in even having our response? And I have been asked to ask yourselves, whoever would be from the district council, to ask for this to be overturned or at least investigated or looked at from a procedural method, and at least even have a site visit down there, and have some of those representatives of the parishioners there to voice their concerns of it. These are people who have moved into the area and they have all of a sudden bought a house which they say is too small, and they want to develop and we've already said that it seems like it's over development of the site. If it's too small in the first place, why did they buy it, is what I've been told.
As you say, the officer's report was quite in favour of it. Which makes it difficult. We have to bear in mind, obviously, whether if it comes to council, whether the council will approve it or not, and if the council will turn it down, if it goes to appeal.
I mean, 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years ago, we had exactly the same thing at Horsebrook.
Exactly.
Where the council turned around and said, "The householder wanted to put a stone extension on his board." Seth Adams Council said, we have a policy of not allowing stone extensions, go back and come back with something modern and we'll allow it, which is what they did. They didn't want it, but they took it because it was two more rooms for the children. But I mean, now they've accepted what is almost doubling the barn size with a stone extension. I mean, every barn in South Hams could be doubled in size with a stone extension.
It is setting a very dangerous precedent.
It's very dangerous.
It hasn't even taken the trouble to go and look at it. It describes it as small. I think it described it as a small, as the size had been reduced.
It doesn't say anywhere in the
review. Yeah.
Well, it would have to be reduced a hell of a lot before it became anywhere near, well, it's not acceptable anyway.
So that's the
present
the
one, is with the extension, yeah.
This is not personal to the applicant. This is a point of as much, like I said, procedure that and also waiting. If you have 9 out of 11 householders objecting to this, surely it should send alarm bells in your mind as representatives of these people.
Yeah, I think there were others in support of it as well, were there?
It's a small village and it's been, of course, huge.
I know where it is, What I will do is, because it has to be signed off by the chairman of planning, and he was away last week, so if he hasn't done it yet, I'll see if it's possible
If not, then come and speak to us.
We'll see the site.
I mean, we're not being represented.
It was noted that the previous chairman of planning, admittedly, is one of our members of our parish council. He would have been down there, seen the site, inspected it, and represented the parishioners of this area better.
I think personally that if they're not prepared to review it, they should come here and speak to us directly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because otherwise...
Unfortunately, when was it at your last meeting you discussed it?
Yes, because the last one.
The August one.
I
was away then, I was not aware.
I was. Both of you have put in the same report, citing the same things, and supporting the planning officer or the case officer, which is fine.
However, have good reasons for not agreeing.
However, I can ask.
I mean, I'm sure that there is a policy, and I can't remember the number of it, about barn conversions and not being allowed to have stone extensions.
That's a policy.
I mean,
is it a stone barn, not a stone barn?
It's a stone barn, but it should be defined as an extension, not as
a different material to show that.
Absolutely. And also, what really concerns me is the precedent that's been set on the size and the scale of this development.
Relative to its original size.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the planning officer.
If you scale it up to a bigger barn, you're going to have massive extensions.
And the planning officer quite clearly says that this is, or ticks the box saying, yes, she believes this is an overdevelopment of the site.
Yeah.
It, like I said, it's not personal to the applicant, precedent that it's.
That plan didn't show that they've got a garage and a flat above it, for want of a word. Further back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
Whereas a site visit, probably you wouldn't be able to see all of them.
And a summer house and God knows what else. I mean, it's not like that push for space.
Well, I will ask. Yeah.
Is it worth us as a council writing to them?
I think we ought to.
As well as
do you want to wait to see whether I can get it?
Well, I think if you can represent us first.
Yeah, I'll do that first, and then if it's too late, then you can.
I mean, frankly, I mean, there's not much point us being in the first place.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because we're trying to represent our parishioners, and we're failing effectively because nobody's taking any notice of us.
Yeah, they are. Yes,
seeding, I think, is probably the word.
Okay.
And it's a very small village, and it will profoundly change.
Yeah, they are cheek to jowl up there.
They are.
I think it's one of those things. That North Hewish is such a small village that if you receive so many objections, whereas 9 objections in South Brent would be a small number, in North Hewish it represents the majority of the
village. 30 objections in Mulberry, you're going to lose them within. The number of people in the population.
It's actually 90% of the population, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will ask tomorrow morning.
Thank you. I think we said we feel fairly strongly about that.
Yeah.
South Brent is very much the same over the national park, so I know where you're coming from.
Okay. Anything else on planning?
I don't think so.
Correspondence?
Nothing that you haven't already had, nothing of any great significance.
It would ask if representatives of this parish council would like to attend the AONB.
Are you coming?
I might well be. I hope our farmer representative, who unfortunately is not here tonight, will be attending.
What I'm going to do is let you decide that for yourselves and make contact yourselves, because otherwise it gets.
It's on the email. If you want to attend, you click the button and it sorts out an electronic ticket for you.
Okay.
Some of the strings you have are going.
Yes, you are, David. Well done.
Finance.
Right, a couple of things to be considered here. I'll do a balance thing first of all. We started the month with 6979 and 34 pence. We had interest of
55p.
Yeah, that's probably a couple of months' worth.
I say that's down a bit, isn't it?
No.
It's usually 33.
And we've had the
65.
Anyway, and we've had the last instalment of the precept, which was 1,516. And in the bank at the moment, we've got £8,495.89. After a little bit of pushing on my part, I did manage to get an invoice from Mr. Cooper for the work he did in the play park recently. Remember, he cleared up the graffiti and generally tidying up job there for us. I don't know if we can afford this, or whether we should send it back and ask for a reduction. It's £16.50.
£16.50.
50 whole ones, yeah.
That's almost all the interest we got.
Outrageous.
Would you be happy for me to do that by
of course.
We'll push it out.
Apart from that, finance is pretty quiet, so nothing to worry about.
Highway matters, I've got one thing. The road just below
wooden button.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Can I come back in on finance? Sorry, there was something else. I've forgotten it. This is when I think our district councillor may be of great help to us. A little while ago, we received a letter from the... let's get the right name here now. The locality officer, case manager, talking about the insurance for the Blay Park. And you might remember we wrote back to them saying we had no evidence that they'd carried out any inspection on the Blay Park at all last year. And no final report on the Blay Park. In fact, we felt we'd possibly spent £240 and got nothing back. He wrote back saying that it had been inspected, and because there was nothing wrong with it, they've not passed the inspection information on to us.
That's a good one.
And eventually, we did in fact get a copy from the Seth Hams Insurer Alliance, the what is normally the annual copy of their insurance report, saying that the park was, by and large, in good nick. We didn't need to worry too much about it. Have we included that in that file, by the way? We haven't. I'll put a copy of that in the file if you haven't got one there, because it does give you things to look out for. Anyway, when we wrote back to them, we simply said to them, thanks but no thanks, we won't be making use of your facility for this coming year.
So you're content that they did carry out some inspection now?
Well, I can't call them
no
anything other than honest men. They gave us a complete rundown of what they did each month. Well, they said of each visit.
Okay.
I mean, if I was being suspicious, I could have typed that out on the computer in 10 seconds flat. But I won't be suspicious. I'll take it at face value and say yes, they did it. They just didn't bother to tell us about it. But in the letter we sent them, we said, look, because we haven't had this service from you, as far as we know, we'll take it on ourselves. And what's happening now is councillors are inspecting the park every month.
Okay.
We'll make a suggestion possibly for the end of the year to see whether or not we ought to have an official inspection then. But I'll sort that out with you at a later date if I might. What concerned me is that after all of this, I had a note from the from the finance department of South Hampton District Council telling me we've got an outstanding balance of a bill that we've not paid for this year's insurance cover, which we've cancelled.
Yeah.
Which we've asked the locality officer to cancel.
Yeah.
Which he obviously hasn't.
Right.
The concern is probably that they suggest that if we don't want this, we should be in touch with our locality officer and get him to cancel it.
Which you've done.
Which we've done.
Have you got dates and things of that? Can you let me
I can show you all the letters after the meeting if you like.
Yeah.
It's just that I feel that really someone's let us down a bit.
Lack of communication.
Yeah. And I just don't intend answering this last one because I don't see why the heck I should.
Can you photocopy those?
Yeah,
I can. Unless you've got them electronically.
They're always saved electronically. I can send them
on to
you.
Send them to me, it would be better.
Yeah.
And then I can take them in and
I can send you every letter from day one.
Okay, that would be useful.
What I haven't got is a copy of the invoices.
I can scan that and send it to you. And just do a little explanatory note with it.
Yeah,
then I can take it on.
Thanks.
Okay,
only,
I'll do that.
You know, I just wonder what the heck the point is me talking to anyone that's so fancy
And so, can I just clarify then that if there is an outstanding bill of £200 for this year's insurance, are we supposedly having inspections done by the locality office?
Well, I've not heard anything from
to warrant this
when
bill.
When did you ask to cancel it?
Anyway,
I'll give
you the date on that now.
So if you've got...
It was before
the on the 22nd of August, because the original bill came through... No, the original bill came through after the beginning of September.
That's this year.
This is for the current year.
It's just started then?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Do you know what date, from that date presumably?
I would have, they sent it out initially at the beginning of September.
Okay. If you let me have the paperwork,
This is the reminder.
The
invoice date was the 9th of September.
Right.
So when in their report, and when was, do they have the date of the last time they inspected
it? I've got that report. I haven't got it to hand though.
Yeah,
but you notified them well before that you didn't want to carry on.
I let them know.
For several months, haven't we?
Yeah.
I let them know on the...
Well, we started inspecting it ourselves. We started this current financial year.
24th of July, I wrote to them telling them to cancel it.
Right, okay, fine.
On 24th of July, I said, whatever the case, we'll not be renewing our contract with you.
Fine. So, if you let me have that, Tony,
I'll try and sort that out. They're ignoring my letter, so I'd love you to.
They might ignore me, but I'll try.
But at least you're there.
Right.
Sorry. No worries. So, back to highways. Over this last week, 10 days, there was some work done on the road below Woodland Barton, but it's now dangerous, basically, because water's running down off the potato field up above Barron's Hill there.
Oh, yes.
And it's now a muddy lake on the road. And somebody slapped a slippery road sign on there, but, I mean, it is potentially... I mean, there's mud piling up on the road, basically. I don't actually know the law that pertains to runoff off fields. I mean, obviously, if people put muck on the road, it's their responsibility to take it off. Just runoff from a field, I mean, there's a lot of it because we had a lot of rain. But the road at the bottom there is potentially quite dangerous, I think. Now, I don't know what can be done about it, but clearly it's all collecting down there.
I can get hold of Highways and bring it to their attention.
Would you? Because I think unless it's something, I mean, we're going into the winter, unless something happens, it isn't going to be cleared away, and somebody's going to skid into the water.
There's the same trouble at going up from Clifford Cross towards California Cross when that was in potatoes.
Yes.
That comes
it
up
is
on
a
the
known
road, isn't it?
Thing.
The Environment Agency turned up for that.
Okay.
In a not very good mood.
It does come down to the landowner, technically, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought so, but I didn't know. I mean, obviously, if you actually put stuff on the road, then it's...
Maybe a phone call to the landowner there, or the
before
tenant.
Before I contact Highways.
Yeah, just to say, it's been raised at parish council level, and is there something they're about to do about it? They're going to do about it.
I presume you know this landowner.
I think we all do. And make him aware.
Yes, makes sense. But
I think that's the right thing to do.
I'm not particularly prissy about these things, but it is.
I should say the tenant, but you shouldn't.
Not the landowner, the tenant. Sorry.
But he's presumably the one responsible.
Yeah.
Well, I'll contact him. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else on
highways?
No.
I think we covered everything
else,
haven't we?
North Hewish phone box.
Yes. Just when you thought it was safe.
Yeah, no. It's never safe.
Dear old Richmond Hughes land agent. Tim Young.
Yep.
He was away on holiday when it rained, so we'll
it's a lot further forward.
But I don't envisage a great deal of problem.
Okay. Meanwhile, I filled in the form as requested to advise British Telecom before. And the British Telecom gave no reply to that.
Okay.
So I rang British Telecom, who said, no, you can't speak to the adoptions team. They don't talk to the public.
can't phone them.
I didn't like to ask them. Have they run out of coins? I've been told it's cards only. So they asked me to email, so I emailed them, and about 2 weeks later I did get a response from them saying that no, they hadn't received our application, but they have now logged it. Meanwhile, they asked that we forwarded our comments to the council, which we already have, and they will respond to any requests for adoption after the consultation on the fate of the boxes has been concluded.
I noticed on the council's form that they sent out the email that we were logged in as... I think the council were going to follow up the question of the ownership of the box.
Really?
Well, that's all good. Let them all.
I think they probably meant us as the council, wasn't it?
They don't make that clear. I took it to be them.
I presume they meant council.
I'll have another look at that little box because I read it as
county district council.
Southampton's
doing it.
Right.
It's on the email that we got from. What happens? I think it was a district council email. They listed all of the boxes and they listed the state of play for each of the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And in one little teeny weeny box next to our name, they say something about the ownership of the land. I rather felt they were going to try to resolve it somehow.
I have a feeling they meant that we were looking into it. That's the consultation, isn't it?
There's a set of boxes with all of the.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find it.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of.
See, when we spoke.
It would have been about 2-3 weeks ago, I should think.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to find the right one.
Maybe.
Draft for telecom consultation. There we are.
Thank you. Yeah.
I haven't got it up yet.
No, but I'll just. People will be sure of that, and if I recognise it.
If we just go drift on, yeah, we'll just carry on.
Mm.
Where are we on the list?
Oh, hundreds of them.
Well, no, only like 18. North Hewish.
No,
North Hewish Parish Council wish to adopt the kiosk to install. We have approached BT directly regarding this. I'm awaiting a response for them.
It says here, want to
adopt, but this is the land. It is on, owned by a trust.
Oh, right.
That's all it says.
Oh, so.
So no,
we're just waiting on these issues. Then.
They are not. They are not offering to sort that out.
I thought they were.
No. Take this in.
So that'll be items for future meetings.
It will. We leave it on there.
And yes. You'll make another phone call.
Yeah. And on the subject of items for future meetings, obviously, I think this issue of the planning in North Hewish has to come up again. I think we really need to get some satisfaction over that. Anything else? Anything to think of?
There's one that perhaps I should have mentioned in open forum, actually. I completely forgot about it. Regarding mobile phone signals, you know that the banks now are going to want to phone you up to give you a code before you pay for anything. Well, the other day I wanted to pay for something and the bank had to phone me up to give me a code so that I could give it to the person that I was buying something off. And of course we have no mobile phone signal here. anywhere in Avonwick is absolutely impossible. So I actually wrote to the bank and said, look, what am I to do? It means I can't buy things because I'm not going to have a code. And they wrote back saying, well, you have to just contact your mobile phone provider, but I'm sure it's going to be the same for all of us that we just haven't got a signal in
anything.
We did discuss it at the last meeting.
Yes.
That there is new legislation coming through which will hopefully extend phone
but
masks
when?
By.
I mean, we need this really soon.
We are
paralysed
from
living
in
rural
areas, aren't we?
So,
if that's the case, some of us cannot buy anything or look very silly because we haven't got a mobile phone signal.
Mm.
And remember, you don't have... Okay, if you're at home, you could ask your bank to phone your home phone number, but if you were out buying something, you couldn't anyway. You'd have to have your mobile phone
text
signal.
Phone,
yeah, it is text on here.
Yeah, text, yeah,
yeah.
With a number on. Mm.
Well,
so, you know, I
buy
feel
online.
It's...
Support local shops.
Like where?
New Navitz is pretty good. It's the only place with all the banks.
Yeah,
I confess
it's
that
good.
My banker said they will telephone you rather than try to.
Yeah, but what happens if you're out?
Then I'd probably be in an area with a mobile telephone signal.
Yeah, if you're not in North Hewish or anywhere, you will have mobile signal.
If the problem is specifically if there's no mobile signal in the...
If then they're using your home phone number to contact you, you're not going to be...
Mm.
You know what banks are like, they'll take one number.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a question
either one or the other.
To chase this up. I just want to get someone to put
it... Well, you can't really. This is a national issue. It's,
yeah,
you know... It's,
and
I would say it's national. I would say it's pertinent to
rural areas.
Don't forget they have upgraded the mobile network in this area significantly in the last few years with the installation of the new mast in North Hewish, which was supposed to resolve.
Well, it wouldn't because it wouldn't be able to reach us. It's not high enough. Were they going to make that higher?
No. We were just saying that there was legislation came out that phone companies.
They could be made higher further.
Yeah, I think it was 50%, but don't quote me on that.
I'm sure we discussed it last time.
We didn't know what to do.
And it just came to the head of the top of the church while the scaffolding came down so quickly.
Ah, there you go, go with the E.
I've got a 4G signal.
Have you really?
Yeah. Who are you with?
O2.
I'm O2.
Then it says, and then you click on something, it says no network. Yeah. It tells me it's...
You can stand there.
See there, it says 4G.
You can stand out on the porch, you might get it.
Don't get us all excited.
So what I would say is from a technological point of view, that domestic users of mobile telephones can get what is known as femtocells, which can be installed in your house, which would allow effectively a local mobile phone access point, which would go over your wireless network to complete the call.
How would you get that?
I don't know.
Because I think that's something that we ought to make a lot of people aware of.
Would you like me to have a look into that and see if there is some advice we could put together for people?
Yeah, that would be good. Because I think a lot of people are going to find it difficult.
So that again will be the next stage.
Now I've got a symbol for no signal.
You all made us jealous then.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry about that.
No, just go and stand right in the porch, you'll be fine.
So, next meeting.
Oh, yes, no, when is the next meeting?
5th of November, more fireworks.
Lovely.
Do you know if the pub's having fireworks this year?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I expect so.
You can ask when you...
They got the big thing collected, right?
Yeah, they've got a big pot of money there for it.
We'll have to park.
Oh, gosh, it'll be a nightmare.
You'll make money in a car park.
It's probably easy in
place
about parking on the roads.
That's a very good point.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get here. Last year we had a problem, didn't we?
Should we actually have contacted the pub to remind them of the need to sort out
sometimes
the
parking? Sometimes they don't have it on the actual 5th,
do they?
No, that's right. They might have it the weekend. It'll be either the 3rd or Tuesday.
Could this be a second thing you could talk about when you next see the landlord?
I will mention it.
I think you need to make a special.
We had an issue with parking.
Sand, grit, sandbags.
No, Charlie. I mean, but going back to last year's bonfire and fireworks, it was mainly parking, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we suggested a field. However, it's just not feasible this time of year.
They did have parking monitors, didn't they, last year, or was it something else?
No, I'll mention it, but it is very, very popular.
I will voice our concerns and remind
the thing is, what can they do? I mean, it's great that it's
we want to support it, but I don't see a way around it really.
I mean, the roads are just going to have cars on them. There's nothing else you can do here, is there? There's no parking.
If we had a community hall with a car park, for example, they could put their cars in there.
Well, why not put it on the seat, you know, on the roof or something? We could get one going on the roof, perhaps.
Multi-story one.
You could add two stories to here.
That's going to be my next
event.
Multi-story car park.
On the roof.